I was fighting. I said, that's my word.
Yeah.
I'm angry, but my heart is receptive. I need this word, and I can't let that devil put me in bondage.
That's why you have to say, build up in him. Yeah. Like when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I got back to God. I was in Baptist church, but they weren't believers in that way by no means. Well, I'm kind of naive anyway, and I was teaching an older ladies class, buddy, and I went exactly by the book. I loved to learn a lot of Old Testament, and I like that. And we had a Wednesday night, and somehow people were starting something about praying in the Spirit, and I said, well, I do that, because I was coming against it. I just, well, I do that? You know, I had been praying. And they would come to me. And said, we thought you would resign. I said, resign? He said, yeah, they've been ladies. Some of them told me that you're teaching about praying in the Spirit and all that. I was doing Old Testament, run for line, exactly like the book. And I was shocked. But, you know, I was so full of God, it didn't bother me. Right. And the next Sunday, they thought I'd leave or something because, you know, they come and ask me to resign. They thought I would resign. I didn't know I was supposed to, you know.
You didn't even know you was.
God came and sat down next to me that next Sunday in that church, buddy. And I'd always kind of done this, but, buddy, I was free beyond free. And I stayed in that church until God moved us to Victory Christian Fellowship. Uh-huh. Well, a miracle, it didn't bother Dick. I mean, you know, men can be. But, you know, to me, that's one of the greatest moments in my spiritual life was when God sat down next to me the next Sunday, because it didn't bother me, it did.
But it was a witness to the other ladies.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't get to teach, but, and then I heard people tell me, several, we did you wrong. You know, it come back
See,
later.
Look at that.
But you know what was the key? I was in his presence a whole lot.
Glory to God.
I was in his presence.
Flesh can't get it.
And that flesh wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I call that when that flesh is there, just being Mary.
Mm-hmm.
There's supernatural Mary. There's Mary that kind of knows right from wrong and chooses the right. There's supernatural Mary that it don't bother it, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. Then that if you get kind of drained out, it's like Mary that will decide not to do it and don't do it. And then there's Mary that just lets you have it.
Wow.
And you know what the key is? In his presence.
Yes.
Staying in his presence.
Yes.
Staying in his word.
Walking in love.
Walking in love. But when you stay in his presence, you're going to walk in love.
Yes.
True.
That's the key.
That's
everything
it.
We do. I mentioned a few, a week or so ago how.
And then I stayed like 3 years in that church. Until Dick, and I visit here when I at the old church here. And then who took us to Victory Christian Fellowship in Hillview? My husband.
Yeah.
Look at God.
See what?
Why do you do it?
When I first came here, the Lord told me everybody to come to this church and join, they got promoted.
What?
First Sunday I came here, he said, everybody to come to this church and join, they got promoted.
Amen. Oh, what a good
question. I know that's true, Brother Thursday. I totally agree with that. I totally can't.
And I don't say that lightly. That is
promoted.
That's a word from the Lord.
Thank you.
He told me that. I said, I know, but you're right. When I talk to people about walking in love, sometimes you can see their countenance drop. And one lady, she said, it's just hard. Everything that Jesus tell you to do is hard, very hard, unless you do it in him.
Woo, glory, amen. That's the key. Then it's easy, isn't it?
Yes.
Very. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he used two extremes. He knew how to be abased, and he knew how to abound.
Thank you.
There are people that know how to be abased, but they just don't know how to abound.
Right.
And if you give, let's say a person that know how to survive, if you pay all their bills and give them much more than enough money to live off, they'll mess it up because they don't know how to abound.
That's right.
There are people that know how to abound, but they don't know how to be abased. If you take everything they had, they don't know how to recover. But if you give them something, they know how to maintain it. But Paul had two extremes. Now, that's not easy to accomplish for anybody because your habit system, the way you think, the way you reason. If you give a man something and he don't have vision for it, the way he reasoned is he's going to level it out to where he's used to. He'll mess it up. People that get that win the lottery, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then right back up in debt in a short amount of time.
More so because they'll spend more than they... It's a big amount of money.
Well, they use the same mindset to do what they were doing.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Instead of changing who they are.
Yeah, you have to make adjustments. People won't... They ask the Lord for $1 million all the time. The Lord will take them serious. Okay, you can have it. But when he does it, he does things foundation. He'll prepare you to handle it. And that's a process. And people don't know that about God. And the process takes time and cooperation.
Yes.
And when the part of God's word where that you have faith for, that's the part of God's word that you receive in your heart. All of your faith, the faith that you operate in, that's the part that you received in your heart. Now, salvation, you received, everybody has a measure of faith because it took a measure of faith to get saved in the first place. Mm-hmm. You heard the word, you received it. It probably didn't make sense to your mind, but it made sense to your heart. Because you received it in your heart, it became faith. And the Holy Spirit helped you develop it into faith, and then you believed on Jesus.
Yes.
And you're in the kingdom. Now the whole kingdom's yours. So when you study the Word of God, you see promises. If you receive those promises, you can operate in them. But old knowledge, wrong teaching, lack of knowledge, can war against the new knowledge, and cause you not to receive some things or limit it. Now he talked about receiving, living in your measure. The way you measure it is the way it'll be measured to you. Even if the part of God's Word you receive, you may put a limitation on it. Because of old traditions, the people you were around, the way that you were raised. Like when I first heard about authority, I said, I thought that in those days I believed it and I operated in it. But I limited my authority to just protecting myself from Satan. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I could tell Satan to stop whatever he was doing, wherever he is on earth. I didn't know I could stop wars. I can stop wars from happening. If ISIS kidnaps somebody, I can tell Satan, you can't kill him. If I have faith for it, he can't kill him.
Amen, amen.
And I know of three incidents where they let somebody go. I just told Satan, you cannot kill him. You will not kill him. And they let him go every time. But I don't sit around and watch things like, we can do these things.
Yeah.
More Christians need to operate in that kind of faith. Over time, I learned from the Lord, don't put limitations on His Word. Uh-huh. If you see a need, believe Him for it in His strength. And you're doing it in His strength. You love Him. When I almost got to fighting with Slim, that guy I got mad at, and the Lord said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil, I saw something. I loved him. I wanted to love him, but my strength was gone. Uh-huh. And then when the Lord said that, I had strength to love Him. And I calmed down instantly and I said, man, I'm about to drink and we'll talk about it. People had gathered around because they saw that everything was heating up. He was an older guy and he knew that I was a preacher and he was testing me. So the Lord didn't just do that for me, He did it for him too. But I said, Lord, you did something that I need. I said, teach me how to love your people. I saw that I could love people in His strength. At that time, I just wanted to do right by Christ. I wanted to love His people because that's what He wanted me to do. And I didn't want to fail. I said, I'm going to fail. If something's going to happen, and I'm going to fail God, and I don't want to do that. So I asked Him to teach me how to love His people because people can be so contrary. But God can supply you with an endless amount of strength, even to the point where, you know, like Paul in chapter 16, they put him in jail. He's worshiping God in jail. Mm-hmm. He never saw the jail. He's in there. He's in the worst part of it. Big deal. He's still looking to God. Mm-hmm. He's being supplied with strength, and he's still ministering. He used that situation for a platform.
Yes.
And the Lord had put me in situations that was negative to me. But I saw something. This is just my platform. I can do something. I can use this platform to honor God, and I did. And I learned, and that gave me joy. I can continue the love of God. That gave me joy. I can do it in his strength, so my strength increases, and I can do it in joy. When you, the part of it, you receive it, what would happen if you received every part of God's word you ever heard, not only the written word, but what the Holy Spirit brings to you? When the Holy Spirit brings something to you, it's up to you to receive it. If you receive it, you got it. You got a hold on it. It's a, you put it in your heart. You plant it. You got a hold on it. Satan can't take it away. Yes. You received it. And then what's going to happen? You're going to have faith for it. And in life, you're going to use that faith, and people are going to live. When it's all, the strength comes from him. We receive it, and then faith is formed in us. Christ is formed in us, and we do what he did. And greater works than he did will we do because we believe. We keep receiving his word. We come to a point we believe it, and we don't wrestle against him, and we obey him. Everything that God give us is important. That's why when we yield to him, we're unlimited. But if you do it in your strength, it's a cap on it.
You're saying, this is, I was listening to Kim Copeland. He got my birthday message from him. That's mm-hmm. why I've been talking through, because I just listened to it. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, it's true that greater works for bigger numbers. We'll do the works of Jesus mm-hmm. and stuff. But he was saying that God's going to, I'll put this in my words, really going to show off as far as greater works. His example was the guy had leukemia. Uh-huh. I think it was a guy. He went to bed. Mm-hmm. He woke up. The blood was covered in blood.
I heard mm-hmm. that.
Covered, did you hear?
Yeah, I heard that.
Covered in blood.
Yeah.
And but he was fine. He felt better. He was healed. They tested his blood in his body. There was no leukemia. They tested the blood on the bed. It was full of leukemia.
Wow.
And he took us there. God did a blood transfusion on his bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He drained his blood and put it back.
Yeah.
And so he was saying that's going to be greater works. The church is going to excel in so much.
Mm-hmm. All kind of miracles are going to happen. Remember, though, the Lord is doing two things. Those that love him and walk in love, they judge themselves. They won't be judged. He's about to take them off earth. And then there are those who hadn't quite come in yet. And then there are those who have rebelled. So he's still dividing. The miracles, I believe they'll happen in strategic locations to attract people that's mm-hmm. coming in. And when everything of God does the same thing. Every part of God's word, the promises, the blessings, they divide right down the middle. When you talk about a healing, a notable healing, mm-hmm. people that have turned their shoulder from God because they turned their heart. They're like the people in Isaiah 30. They turn their shoulder against God. Now, they know what's right. They don't want to be unpopular, so they'll say the right thing, but they actually turn their shoulder. When somebody get healed and they know about it, they get angry.
What?
They get angry.
When somebody gets healed
and they know about it. You're talking about the people that know that they got a healing gets angry, or the one that, you're not saying the one that got the healing.
No.
People who have turned their heart and they actually turn their shoulder, they're leaning toward the world again. When they hear about a notable miracle, they get angry. But when people who are in the balance, they hadn't quite made up their mind yet. When they hear about it, they want more. They want in on it. And the Lord know who will do what, and he's running out of time. So I don't know how this will look. I don't know how the rapture will actually look. God can do a revival, and it may be what we expect. Off the chain, we may see a bunch of people, or he can do it in a way where you don't see anything. Mm-hmm. In fact, it can look worse, but that don't mean that there's not a revival. I know him that way. He do things according to his purpose. He can.
Well, Pat, Brother Thurston, mm-hmm. let me ask you this. Okay, now I had encountered this situation.
Yeah.
I wasn't at this church yet, but I was. What helped me through that was reading Kay Arthur, and she was talking about how the foreigners were over there and they were getting abused, and they were, you know how terrorists would come in and the Americans was over there and they was really getting abused, and then two sisters that she was alluding to in the book was getting beat very badly. So, but I had left here and I went to California and I was falsely arrested. I was put in jail due to my sister, you know, stealing my identity. But all of that being said, so when I was in there, you know, and I wasn't at this church, but I was reading K. Arthur's book and everything, and it was a pretty, it was a new covenant. They was more on law and everything. But for me, when I was in that situation, and I mean, it was a strictly set up. It was a sting operation, and they sent me a letter saying I had won money, so I went to collect the money. But when I got there, they called us by names. They had the cookies, the balloons, and everything. So when they called my name, they said, come get, bring your ticket and get the money. So I brought my ticket. I was all happy, and I got toward the back. They just put me in. I was like, well, what's going on? I was so naive, so gullible. I'm not kidding you. I was like, oh, well, they gotta do this so nobody won't take my money. I don't know why I was thinking. I was a mess, sister. So they, I was innocent, and I was plastered all over the TV.
Wow.
I was literally put in jail. They made me strip down. They put me in the jail, and it was people that was there that was literally innocent like me. I remember specifically this one young girl, she was crying, but they arrested me and put me in there, and I was just about to break, but then I remembered K. Arthur ministering in that book about those two sisters and entering into the fellowship, and I started praying that prayer, and God, I'm going to Jesus, I'm going to enter into this fellowship with you. You take over. And so I began to minister in that situation to the ones that was arrested, to the inmates that they put me in the jail with, and they were laughing at me. They were literally laughing at me, and I was praying, and I was talking to them how God is going to deliver me. This, I'm innocent. They're not going to keep me in here because I'm a daughter of God. I began to minister like that. And those people that were in there, the inmates that were literally guilty, and they were laughing at me, they all gathered around me when I began to talk about the Lord. And they began to just was like with their mouths open, and they had guns on all of us at the top when you're in jail. They have guns on you, but they were like, this, who is this strange lady? She is strange, you know, and God literally got me out of there the next day, but the whole time, and I was like, well, I'm going to be here for Sunday, Mother's Day is the next day, because I was going to use the money, I was going to give my mother a big celebration, but instead I was in there, and God used me to minister in there, but I didn't know what I know now, but everything that I learned here, I'm like, it's like, I don't know, it's just like when you talk about things like what these disciples experience, it's like those are things that we encounter. You know, but they're not like their situation, but they're like that those situations. But God
did. The Lord used it as a platform.
He did. And they paid me. The chaplains gathered money. They said, we're gonna give this money to you. And the detective that wanted me to press charges on my sister, said, we're a lot alike. We believe in spirits. Well, she was an Indian. That was her heritage. And she was telling me, I said, well, I don't, you know, the spirit that, we was talking about different spirits.
Yeah.
You hear? We was talking about different spirits. But they, she's like, we're going to gather this money for you. They raised the money. They gave, the chaplains gave me money. You know, they told me that, okay, how much do you think that we need? I was so naive. I didn't even know that I could have told them, well, you're going to give me $50,000. You plastered me all over the TV. They literally, the detectives, the police, all of them was laughing at me. And they kept running it in Fresno, California. The little lady from Alabama. The little lady from Alabama. And I didn't even know. I was so disgraced like that. And people started knowing me, and I hadn't been back home in years. They say, you the little lady? You the little lady from California. I mean, from Alabama. You the little lady from Alabama, aren't you? Like, I became a celebrity.
Did they retract it after you were set free?
They did in the records. They might have done it
publicly. They asked me how much did I want. Because, see, what happened was, I had to tell them for my pain and suffering what I wanted. Mm-hmm. My husband said, Steph, I said, well, I'm going to be here in NAACP on the scene. I'm making this my office. I said, honey, they're going to pay me. They're going to pay me. My husband said, Dad, he said, come home. He said, that means you have to stay there. We left. Come back. He said, let God defend you and recompense you, Steph.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm just going to do this. But my husband said, come home.
Uh-huh.
And I said, my husband said, come home.
We need him, don't we?
You better know him first and then Robert. But he told me, that lady said, well, they just want to know how much you want for all the... And I was like, well, how much do you think I should ask? You know, the one said, we serve these spirits, you know. Still gullible. I was like, I don't know. She says, well, anything you put down. I said, well, I just want to get back home. $1,000.
Yeah, you should have paid
$1,000. I could have. Because
I got a real nice imagination. Can't be.
I know. I could have.
She said anything I want.
But yeah. I didn't know. But you know what? My reward is greater.
Yeah.
You hear me?
You did, God.
With him. Mm-hmm. I honored God and I honored my husband. So
if you prayed, he might have put zero. I told you to put zero. So.
True.
But I just wanted to add that because, like you were saying, that God, and then Candace was talking about those lights too, and then you're saying how God, he knows whose is his. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows. I mean, these encounters just was real thirsting.
Yeah.
Blowing my mind.
When remember, God is, he thinks of everything. We think in part. You know, if you follow him, if you spend time in his presence, he'll clue you in on what he's doing. We love people. We do things a certain way because we love people. But everybody don't love God. And the Lord has to do something about it.
What? You say we love people.
We love God. We love his people. But everybody's not like that.
Oh.
To the pure, everybody's pure. But and to the froward, everybody's froward. There are people who have turned their back on God. Mm-hmm. The Laodicean church, the Lord, if the Lord said he'll spit you out of his mouth, that means something's bad wrong. He didn't say that because they were not doing something. You're not saved by works. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A person can get saved and stay in the love of God. Even Paul wrote one time, he said, stay away from fornication, things offered to idols, and blood. And you find, you know, he didn't even tell them to tithe. He just said, stay away from fornication, things off strangled, and things offered to idols. You know, just three. Simple, just stay in the love of God. Just do that, and you'll be fine.
And that's what I entered into that fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Just like those ladies said, Lord, let me enter. I got to enter in, Lord. Enter. Because these people were disgracing me. They shamed me. They made me take off my clothes. They treated me like a criminal.
Yeah. But the Lord, he used you in the situation.
Yes.
And people didn't forget it. Because you don't forget something like that. I mean, the people.
You know, Corrie Ten Boom, Corrie Ten Boom and her family went through.
Yeah.
You know?
And see,
man, God just, horrific. You know, miraculously set her free. Her family died, but.
Her sister died too.
Yeah.
In the concentration camp.
Yeah.
The things that happen are real. But our response, sometimes the people that are doing evil, God can save them.
Yeah.
And he'll use our love to help them. The Lord will do strange things to get people saved. And sometimes we'll be in a situation and the Lord will just help us do the right thing. But when people turn their back on God, now listen, this is Isaiah. I'm going to read it out of this one. I read it in the King James Version earlier. He said,
Isaiah what version?
This is Isaiah 30, verse 8. 8 to 10 is the main verse I'm getting to. In this book here, this is the book of Isaiah, the Passion Translation. Sister Deborah gave it to me. Said, a message to God's stubborn children. God told me to write in a book words meant for the coming generation as an eternal witness. For they are stubborn rebels, children always telling lies, who refuse to listen to Yahweh's instruction. They say to the seers, now this is the kind of people God got to leave behind. They say to the seers, stop seeing your visions. They say to the prophet, stop prophesying to us about what is right. Prophesy only pleasant things to us, even if they are illusions. Leave this narrow way. Turn aside from the harsh path. Don't confront us anymore with the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel has to say. Because you have despised this message and trust in your own clever abilities to deceive and rely on oppression, your own sin will become like a high, bulging wall that is cracked and about to collapse. In an instant, it will fall down. It will break into pieces like shattered pottery, smashing so ruthlessly that not even a fragment big enough to pick up a hot coal or to scoop water from a cistern will be found. And then the King James Version says, now go write it before them on a table and note it on a book that it may be for the time to come and forever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. There are people who are like this now. And if God do a notable miracle, they will get angry. If the Lord give them instruction, they don't want it.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they say, get you out of the way, turn aside from out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. So he's going to do this thing intricately. He's doing he's more than just starting a revival to get people in. He's also dividing. And I don't know, that's why I say I don't know how the revival is happening. It's been happening for a long time. I don't know how it'll look. I wonder how it'll look. I always thought of thousands of cars coming to church, people packing in, and that can happen. I don't limit God, but also I know that he's running out of time, and I know he's strategic, and he's dealing with people. About 5 years ago, I knew one thing about this revival. It would be of the heart. People would be, he's dealing with people in the heart. They're making heart changes. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it don't always look big.
Okay. Yes.
But the rapture, you'll be known as you're known. You'll be gone. People are going to see you disappear.
Gone.
I'm so glad I didn't take that money, because if I would have took that money and made a good number, I wouldn't even been here for this. I would have been there. I wouldn't have been here for such a time as this.
Yes. This is. Can I play Mary?
Yeah. And we got to go to clock out. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you will bless every speaker today, everyone who ministers. Lord, be with the church. Come to walk in our aisles and bless everybody. To help us do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for the thirst.